looking around in this room to remove himself. Demon of doubt, demon of whatever. I'm making a declaration right now from the start before I start sharing the word. Amen? Amen. You believe in that? Amen. So start rebuking it in your heart to say, demon, get out right now because I'm going to be here and I'm going to hear the word of God. And the word of God is going to come through my ears and it's going to get through into my heart where it belongs. Amen. It's not easy to preach about righteousness because it goes against the current. Amen. But because the Holy Spirit said do it, we're going to do it. We've been doing righteousness for these past 5 weeks, isn't it? 5 weeks already? 4 weeks? Amen. But the Bible says like this in the book of Psalms, you know, when you see Selah, it means take note. We have been doing this righteousness, walking in righteousness for these past 4 weeks. That means take note. It's important. It's really important for you to put it in your heart about walking righteously before God. Last week, I shared on righteousness, and today I'm going to add on it. I'm going to put things into perspective. Maybe last week when you left from here, you felt like as if, oh, what is he talking about? And whole of this week, you might have been wrestling with God about righteousness. How can I live righteously before God? Amen. We learned last week that we can live without sin before God. Amen. Amen. That is not my word. That every word that I shared last week came from the Bible itself. Amen. And we learned that we cannot say that God has put us on trial. According to the book of James. Amen. So this week, the question I'm going to ask is this. Why am I still sinning even though I go through all these things? Why? Today, I will try and answer it according to the word of God. And before you're going to leave today, you're going to have a satisfied heart that, wow. So the word of God says that? Yes, it does. Amen. Hallelujah. We learned last week that it is possible not to sin, that the Lord loves the righteous people. Everything about righteousness that you walk in, God loves that. Amen. Amen. Because he's righteous one right from the beginning. Jesus Christ left heaven. He's righteous one. So that you can be righteous. You learned that last week as, who was here last week? Amen. Almost everybody? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I'll continue to part two this week about righteousness. Amen. And we learned that with righteousness, God loves us. With righteousness, God calls us. With righteousness, God has made us holy. With righteousness, we are covered by God. With righteousness, whatever we desire from God, he shall be granted to you. With righteousness, you inherit the kingdom of God and you dwell in the kingdom of God. That's with righteousness. With righteousness, you are born with him. Whoa, that's a mouthful, but it's actually what we should be in God. Amen. Hallelujah. As believers living in this dispensation of grace, we have been given the right tools to live righteously. The right tools that we got to live righteously is, one, we have been saved by grace. That's what God has done for us. We have been saved because when we received Jesus. Second, The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Thirdly, the Word of God. Right here. Hallelujah. 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 As believers, we walk in the way that is pleasing unto God. That is walking righteously. That means you walk to please. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. We have been placed in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says like this, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That is our Christ to us today. If you have received Christ to be your Savior, that is who Christ is to you. Christ is your wisdom, is your righteousness, is your sanctification, he is your redemption. Amen. Amen. He gave us his word as an instruction of righteousness. 2 Timothy, verse 3 to 16. It says like this, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Hallelujah. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. So everything that you doubt about, every instruction that you need to know about walking in righteousness, it's all in the Word of God. So there is some things that we got to do. You see, Christ died. It took death so that we can have some sort of responsibility to look after, to take care of. We can't just say, yes, Christ died. Yeah, it's okay. There is a death was involved so that God could cover Adam and Eve. Death was involved, as you heard last week. He had to kill an animal so that he can clothe their unrighteousness. Because they never knew that they were naked. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Why do we still struggle with sin? We're going to do some Bible reading today. Let's all go to Romans 7, verse 15. Hallelujah. Romans 7 verse 15, it says like this. For what I am doing, I do not understand. This is Paul. I'll tell you about, if you read the whole thing, it's about Paul who is struggling with the law and grace. He's struggling between what the law says to him and what the grace of God is. And he's saying here in verse 15, he says like this. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Is that us? Hello, is that us? You, whatever you hate to do, you keep on doing. Now, this is what Paul says as we continue to read in verse 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. Oh, but I thank God, it is no longer I that liveth now, but Christ Jesus. You see, the war that he had with him was this. He was struggling with the law, and then God is saying you can live righteously, exactly as what we are as a congregation today, about righteousness. Oh, how am I going to live like that? That's exactly what Paul is saying over here. Now, he says like this in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. Hallelujah. That's what Paul says. Nothing good dwells in that, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I, as you go down, he's saying, guys, I'll paraphrase a little bit. I am trying to do good here, God, but I still fall back to where I used to be. Isn't that the struggle we go through? Amen. But listen to this verse here. You see, as he goes down, he was talking about his fight, his war between himself. As he goes down, and then you come to verse 25. Can you go to verse 25? I'll let you read that at home. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at the exclamation mark over there. Our Lord. Boom. That means it was a sigh of relief. Oh my God, thank you for God that even though I went through all those things, but I thank God today because of Jesus Christ. So what is the answer? The answer is Jesus Christ. Look at that. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Exclamation mark. Boom, boom. That means it's an abrupt thing. It's like, oh, what a, thank God. Thank you, Lord. You just given me life, even though I was going through all these things. But yet, thank you for Jesus. That it is only through Jesus Christ that I can come out from that kind of dirty thinking. Hallelujah. You see, this war is happening between here and here. From my heart to the Jesus, that's it. Hallelujah. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Why do we still struggle sin? Okay, we've read that. Out through all that, he's saying that, that's my struggle, but I thank Jesus. But we know that we all identify with that. That is the problem we're going through. Why are there these hindrances that are doing all these things to me? Why do I still do what I want to do? Then I don't want to do it because it's... But I thank God for Jesus Christ. Now, I'll share about three hindrances with us today. One of the biggest hindrance that allows us not to it says like this, we do not fully grasp the true nature of sin. We all have sinned. We have been dead to sin. We find it difficult to grasp the nature and the evil and its wickedness leading to destruction. We have a problem, and the problem is we cannot fully grasp the nature of this sin that is taught about, because none of us here has ever had the full brunt of this sin, and that is burnt forever in hell. Is that the truth? None of us have gone through that yet. None of us that are alive here have gone through that yet. But we know, because it's written in the scripture, that that's the end result of where you're going if you're going to sin before God. But none of us, because we do not really understand the full result of it, the burning, everlasting burning, we tend to take sin lightly. You getting me? You know why? All right, this is the reason. We have always personally lived in sin, and we have lived in the environment that is conditioned to sin. We were born in sin. And this environment that we live in, we're so conditioned to sin, we think. And that's the fight that Paul was having. And that's the fight that you will be having right now. That's a fight I'm having. Because this world that we're in is a fallen state world. When Jesus came, he restored the relationship between you and I. Amen. But then you see everything around you because of your own will. You have a will. Amen. I always share this, you know. God dealt with every sin except for one. And that is our will. But that's wrong anyway. But because we have our will. Our will is the only thing that God can never come against all the time. He will come to you and he will. It's you that will accept him. It's you that will actually acknowledge. It's you. It's us. Because we have this thing. It's called will. Because when God made man in the garden, when God made man, he made him in the image of God. So God has his will. And he put him in the garden where he would reign in the garden with his own will. Amen. So we have, we have been so used to this environment, it's been conditioned to sin. We have a problem which is distinguishing between sin and righteousness because of where we live. We think, hey, it's okay, it's all right. Because everybody does it. I'm no better than that guy. Amen. We seem to always justify ourselves. Our understanding have been skewed or blurred by our own sinfulness. So our understanding of righteousness is always blurred because of the environment that we're in. You know, we are in this church right now. You know, everybody talks nicely to one another. You know, because we're in a church environment. The moment you get out there and all of a sudden someone just comes and bumps you. Poof, and then, you know, like, you know, tackle you or something. All of a sudden, boom, you blurt out something. You see, that's having a problem between distinguishing what's right and what's wrong because of the environment we have been born in. Every one of us was born in sin. Amen. But because of this environment, and it's almost if the years in the Bible is correct, it's about 6,000 years worth of traditional sin we've had. So we've walked in sin. We were born in sin. And we have a problem because the devil, what the devil does, he tries and blurs your eyes. He says, yeah, it's okay. It's okay to live like that. And sin has grown dull. You know, I mean, righteousness grows dull because of the sin. We have a tolerance of this thing here. We like tolerate it. It's okay to do it, you know. Everybody else does it, you know. I'm no better than that guy there. You know, how did that guy get away with that one there? That's how we talk and that's how. But we forget that we were born in it. We were born in it. Hallelujah. We have become used to it. You know, there's an English word about it. I think it's desensitized. Desensitized means to okay, if you were, say 30 years ago when I was born again, 30 years ago, everything you watch on TV right now that is actually quite elusive with killings and drugs and things, 30 years ago it wasn't really quite accepted for us. And maybe with Mama, you know, so many years back, you know, it's not tolerable. You know, like, as it comes to this time and age now, it's because it's there, it's out there. You go on, there's billboards about it and all this kind of stuff. It's like you're getting used to it. You're desensitized to it. So, hallelujah. We have become used to it, desensitized. Make someone less likely to feel shock. That's what it means, or distress, or at sins of cruelty, of suffering by overexposure. So in other words, we have been overexposed to this, that we think that it is just part of our life to walk like that, unrighteously. Amen. Amen. We tend to think less of our sins in order to excuse ourselves, instead of confessing our wrongdoings of what it is, but instead we excuse ourselves. Everybody does it. I'm better than that guy or that person. I do a lot of good things. You know. Amen. No human alive being has yet experienced the full weight of sin's consequences. That is burning in hell. Amen. If we were to be judged now without Christ, then it is eternal suffering in the lake of fire. If only we truly understand the damage of sin that we think we are getting away with, truly understanding what eternal damnation is in the lake of fire, then I reckon we would think differently today, right now. Amen? Hallelujah. But the amazing thing about it, that at the end of Paul's conversation, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So we have an answer. We have an answer about all these things that we are going through, all these questions that we are asking. A destructive force that leads to ultimate death, that is the lie the devil has been telling you. He's been lying to you. But the good news is, when a person gets saved, 2 Corinthians 5:17? He becomes a new creation. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will show what's holy and what is not to you. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does understand the true nature of sin. He actually understands what we're going through, the very true nature of sin that we are going through. He understands that. You see, about the three people that I had over here, when righteousness entered into you, it's imputed into you. It becomes the body, the soul, and the spirit. And who else? The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, enters into you. Amen. That's when you receive Jesus to be your Savior. If we yield, He will reveal to us. If we yield, He will reveal to us. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, it says like this, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." So we know that it's only the Spirit of God that knows about God. So when He enters into your life, He is the one that will reveal to you the right living. So every time the devil speaks in your ears, hey, the Holy Spirit will say, no, that's wrong. It's not heavenly. It's not godly. Then the decision comes in because we have our will. Whether I adhere to what the Holy Spirit is saying or whether I hear what the devil is saying. See, this is where the problem lies. The answer to our situations are all in the Bible, but because we have a will to say yes and no. When it does arise, when the devil talks to you, the Holy Spirit says to you, no, that's not godly, according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Then your will have to make a decision. If you have been reading your Bible, if you have been fasting, if you have been praying, your will automatically say, no. So there is from the beginning, there is a responsibility we have. We have this responsibility since Christ died, blood was shed, each one of us have a responsibility. The responsibility to live righteous before God. Amen. And what is that responsibility? To say no to the devil. Amen. Every time he wants to say something to you, no. This is what the word of God says about that. Amen. So if you are not yielded to the Holy Spirit, then it's the man that will make the decision. So we got to yield to the Holy Spirit. So even today, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're struggling, and maybe because you haven't got the Holy Spirit in you, you haven't received the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, like I mentioned last week, ask and you will receive. He's always willing. Amen. Okay. There's another hindrance. Hindrance number 2 or 3? 3? Our minds have been programmed wrongly. Why I say that? Because when you are born in sin, since you're a baby, growing up, whatever experiences with your 5 senses you have has cooled your brains to what it has. And it has been coming like that up until the point when you came and you gave your life to Jesus. So the experiences you've had, it's like a computer. You add the, you know, you every day it's, you know, you're feeding in the information. But there is one problem. When we give our lives to Jesus, it's our spirit that has been renewed. Our body and our soul needs to learn how to live righteously as your spirit is. But unfortunately, there is no delete button for whatever that was in your mind. So even though you've given your life to Jesus, everything from old in your mind is transferred still with you. Hallelujah. It's a bit quiet out there. Amen. Our brains, they record everything about your life. It's been, what's the word computer, you know, in computers that it's ingrained in there. Programmed, that's it. It's been programmed in there. Right from your birth up until the time you give your life to Jesus. And then our brains record everything in our life, but all those things, when it comes to God, when it comes to the righteousness of God, to the right thinking, to the right living, by reading the word of God, by understanding and knowing that you have been saved by God, and you have the Holy Spirit in you who is guiding you, leading you, all those strongholds that have been there for years will go one by one if you allow it to happen. Now, how do I do that? Okay, for example, if you are 20 years old. So it's been 20 years of data being programmed in your mind that you cannot press delete. You got memories and everything of it. But the only thing to do is feed yourself with the Word of God. Is start feeding yourself. You see, everything beyond what's already there will be the very first thing that it comes out as you. So you start reading the Word. You start hearing God's Word. You start, faith comes by hearing. And hearing the what? Hearing the Word of God. You start hearing it. You start reading it. You start putting a new thing in your brains right now. Oh, I'm going to feed it with God's Word now. I'm going to feed it with God's songs now. I'm going to feed it with everything about God. Amen. In that way, it'll supersede what's already been there. It'll wipe out what's already been there because you have the power of God that is now with you. Amen. Hallelujah. It takes about 21 days for a habit to settle and about 6 weeks for it to be planted in. Whoa. So how long have you lived? Time divided by 6 weeks. It's all the things, the strongholds that have been put in your mind by what your body has been schooled with. Now, stronghold is a lie that have been believed by you. How do you replace that stronghold? You replace it with truth, which is the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Our minds have been programmed wrongly. It's been programmed to live independently before God. Independent means living in the flesh. Everything about myself is what I know to do, I can do with my experiences and everything. That's living independently. But when it comes to God, you are no longer yours. It's no longer I that live now. I am now dead to sin. I am now alive in Christ Jesus. Amen? So if that is who you are, that means your old self has died. Hallelujah. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says like this. Let me go there. Let me go there. I'll finish off with this. I'll finish off with this. Romans 12, verse 2, it says like this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your brains, mind. Hallelujah. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there has to be a transformation. Like I said, since you were born, you've had all these strongholds that have been sticking there all the time until you give your life to Jesus. But Jesus is saying over here, do not be conformed to this world. Since you are now in Christ, don't. People might want to tempt you. People want to say, yeah, man, it's okay. Come, you know, well, let's have a party. No. You now have the power through the Holy Spirit to say no. Amen? You now have the power through the Holy Spirit to say no. You've learned something today? Amen. So if the devil comes and says something to you, nope, I'm not going to go with you, sorry. I have a new leader now, which is called Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him until eternal, until he takes me with him. Or if not, until he calls me in the air so that we can meet up there. Amen? So we've learned something today. Amen? Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand?